If you're thinking of retiring or maybe retired a bit early, Social Security has a couple of curveballs for you. One of them concerns claiming your benefits. The elimination of claiming strategies that takes place this year, that's something you need to keep in mind. Joining me with more, Tammy Flanagan, Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning. Tammy, hello again.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me again.
This is something that is evolving almost day by day, the Social Security rules changes. Give us the latest.
That's right. Well, yeah, Congress did change the rules right around Halloween last year, but the details were what was really confusing to most people. Even those of us who study this every day, we were like, how does this really going to work? You know, what date does it really take effect? So it's starting to become more clear now that we are in 2016 and the rules do take effect this year. So there's basically two things that are changing. Mostly it's going to affect married couple strategies when one spouse in the couple wants to delay their benefit until 70, but yet the other spouse wants to take part of that spousal benefit and delay their own. So it gives them the ability over a lifetime to get a much higher benefit. And these two strategies, one is called file and suspend, and the other one is called filing a restricted application. And there's two different dates for each of those as far as when they're going to end or when the ability to do those are going to end. So for the first one, for the filing a restricted application, which means I'm going to restrict my application to only my spouse's work record, that would allow my own Social Security benefit to increase by delaying it longer. Well, in order for me to file that restricted application, I have to turn 62 before this year. So I have to already be 62 before 2016. By having that age met, I can delay the benefit until, you know, I'm 70 if I want to. I don't have to be 70 right now, but it gives me the right to have that restricted application option.
And that's what's going away.
That's one of the two things that are going away. That's
and why, right. Why are they taking that away? Is it a money-saving deal?
Well, of course, you know, everything in Congress, you got to look at the budget. But I think what was really justifying this for Congress is the way that they looked at this was as a strategy that would only help wealthier people, which, of course, Social Security wasn't designed to help the wealthy. It was helped people avoid poverty. So the way Congress looked at this is that the only people who could take advantage of these were people who had enough other money, other pension income, other retirement savings, that they could use that money while they waited for the delayed benefit, or those who just work until they're 70 or 66.
So they saw it almost as a loophole, you might
say. Exactly. That's right.
All right. So this will end on, do we know the date at which it ends?
Well, the first one, the filing a restricted application, you can only do that if you turn 62 before this year. Now, the second loophole, so to speak, loophole, is called file and suspend. Now, file and suspend is where I file at my full retirement age, which today is 66, but if you're younger, it's going to be going up to 67. So I file for my benefit when I reach that full benefit age. But then I tell Social Security, I'm filing, but I don't want it right now. And I'm going to do that for two reasons. The first reason is if I'm married, because if I file, that allows my spouse to file on my work record. In other words, if I didn't file, my spouse could only file on his own work record and not have the advantage of doing, you know, one or the other. The other reason why some people file and suspend is because they want that option that, let's say from age 66 to 69, I don't take the benefit, maybe I don't need it, but then something happens at 69 and I need the money. I can then reinstate the benefit and get paid a lump sum back to age 66 of what I would have received. So it's kind of an ace in the hole where I have this ability to either turn it on at 70 and get the much bigger benefit or turn it on earlier and recoup what I would have received from 66.
Just to clarify, if you decide to get the back pay, then you still get the benefit level that you would have gotten had you filed normally at that earlier, younger age.
That's right. But I would recover the money that's kind of in the bank, I guess you could think of it.
So by
from that time.
So by filing and suspending, basically a person could give themselves an option, a fork in the road down the line, which they could decide which was more advantageous.
Exactly. Yeah. Now that's the one that's going to end on May 1st, which means you have to be full benefit age, age 66, on or before May 1st of 2016. So for those people who are younger, like myself and like yourself, forget that option. We won't have that option when we reach that age.
Well, at the rate I'm going, it's going to be like 97 until you can actually even apply.
Yeah, these aren't the last changes. I'm afraid these are probably just the beginning of a number of probably future changes we will see to Social Security, as I think most people expect will happen.
We're speaking with Tammy Flanagan, Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning. Given these the elimination of these Social Security little quirks, how does that affect people's retirement planning and financial planning otherwise?
Well, in a way, it simplifies it because it gives you less things to try to figure out. Because when you think about this, it's almost like putting together a 500-piece puzzle. And a lot of it is dependent on how long we live, which, of course, you know, most of us hopefully don't know the answer to that. So when you're trying to figure out, should I take it at 62? Should I wait till I'm 66? Should I delay it till 70? It's a matter of actuarial numbers. So in other words, I'll collect a smaller benefit if I take it at 62, but I'll collect it for more years. If I wait until I'm 66 or up until 70, then I'm going to get a bigger check, but I didn't get anything from the time I turned 62. So if I die at 70, it wasn't worth waiting. So it's all based on living at least into your 80s. And if you make it past 81, 82, then you've come out ahead of the game by delaying the benefit. And the rationale is in a married couple, maybe both of you won't make it till 85, but there's a better chance that at least one of you will. And so that higher benefit would pass on to the widow and also increase their overall lifetime benefit.
And how good do you find is Social Security at spelling all of this out for people at its own website or in the information that it distributes?
Well, I think they're for good reason, putting this out in small pieces, because until they really understand how it's going to impact, you know, they have to kind of, just like OPM does when a law changes the retirement system, they really have to really interpret the law and come out with the regulations. So if you went to Social Security's website right now, you're not going to see a big headline there that says, as of May 1st, you can no longer do this. In fact, they're still in the process of writing and updating their website to reflect these new changes.
Yeah, because they've got some, it's really a regulatory change caused by congressional action. And
correct.
I guess they have to be careful with how they present it, because they've got Capitol Hill constituents that are looking very carefully at what they're doing.
And it's going to, you know, once it's done, you have to follow through with that interpretation. And that's what's so difficult for people who are in that age group right now where they're thinking about, you know, what do I do? And they're already 62, or they might already be 66, and they're just not sure how these changes are going to affect them. And I think a lot of people are afraid they're going to miss that window of opportunity to take advantage of this. So there are software programs out there that can help people evaluate this based on different Monte Carlo scenarios of how long you're going to live, what's the present value of money, what if you have to take more money out of your savings while you wait. So if you talk with a certified financial planner, you can even go online at AARP's website. They have an online calculator to help you make these decisions.
But basically, if you see Social Security trimming back and doing this and doing that, and Congress trying to limit the future outlays, basically it all points to one thing, and that is you should sock away as much as you can and are comfortable doing as early as you can. That seems to be the eternal rule, really, for surviving financially when you retire.
Yeah, that's the big message I give out to mid-career and new employee orientation seminars, is that, you know, the more you can save now, the more you get used to living within your means and living on less than you earn, the much easier it's going to be in the future. And you may not even rely on, so hopefully you won't be relying on Social Security as your retirement, because it's a very iffy game.
Tammy Flanagan is Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning. As always, thanks so much for that great advice.
Thank you, Tom.